Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Couple Speak Relationship Forum on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Susan Lager, a psychotherapist and relationship coach at my private practice, the Couple Center in Portsmouth, New Hampshire, where I broadcast live each month on Wednesdays at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Tonight's 20-minute episode, The Amazing Power of Repetition, the Good and the Bad, is about a subject most of us can relate to. I'll be discussing the positive and the negative effects of repetition, and most importantly, how you can harness its power towards productive ends so repetition doesn't bite you in the butt. Now, if you've called into the studio and would like to ask a question or share a comment, simply dial 1 on your phone and you'll be next in line to join me on the air. And please don't be shy. I always love comments and questions. It makes things more interesting and conversational. So, repetition, the power of repetition. Where did I get the idea for this show? It all started when I picked up my guitar for the first time after several years, a beautiful new Martin that my husband and son had bought me and had been laying around unplayed mostly for about 3 years, except for once in a blue moon. I picked up the guitar and I found that because I had not had the benefit of practice, which is all about repetition, I was really klutzy on the guitar. I could barely get the strings down. I could barely make a chord. And what used to be so easy and natural to me in my 20s and 30s and even my early 40s now was not only painful, but it just didn't work. There was no fluidity, nothing. And it was very disheartening because I realized, you know, if I had been practicing and giving myself the benefit of repetition, I wouldn't be so bad on this guitar at this point. So that was one thing that stirred up the idea for the show. Luckily, I have since decided I'm going to impose a practice schedule, and I'm going to give myself the benefit of repetition, which will hopefully move me towards some proficiency. The other thing that gave me the idea for the show was sitting with several different couples in the last few weeks in my work as a psychotherapist and hearing about the same old, same old. That was the complaint, that you keep doing this, you keep doing that, long after I've told you that something is hurtful or feels violating or feels disrespectful, you repeat it. And what has become very obvious to me in my work is that usually people's issues with each other, their problems with each other in close relationships are not about singular events. They're about the repetition of something that feels toxic in some way, something that feels insulting or hurtful, and the repeated offense long after there's been a complaint or a request for change. So repetition, that was another source of inspiration for this show, that I felt like I need to say something about the power of repetition. Now, there are areas where repetition has a major impact, both good and bad. One is the obvious to most of us, practice, and the benefits or the lack of practice. So if you've decided you want to play an instrument, or you would like to excel at a sport, or you want to be better at public speaking, you're not going to develop any proficiency at it without some level of familiarity and some level of muscle memory. So it's absolutely critical, if you're going to develop proficiency at anything, that you train your brain how to do it. And repetition is your best friend, that with each time you do it, you learn something new, you try something new, and you're creating new neural pathways, new muscle memory and new neural pathways around the knowing. It's kind of like everybody remembers learning how to ride a bike. You didn't just get on a bicycle for the first time and sail away down the street. You had to keep trying it and trying it and trying it and get the feel for the balance and how you hold the handlebars and how fast you needed to go to stay upright. So one of the benefits of repetition is proficiency and developing ability at something. And one of the ways that I encourage people to develop this in their life is to get away from the word should. I should practice. I should be working at this. I should. And to work with the word I could. It's a much more empowering word. There's less. It's less duty-driven. It doesn't create the same kind of dread. But if instead you use the expression, well, I could practice at such and such a time, or I could go to that game and try that play again at such and such a time. I could join that team. You're not imposing something that feels like more nasty homework on yourself. So that's one thing that will help. I also think I can tell you that from my experience that for you to give yourself the benefit of repetition through practice and repeated experiences, you are going to need to connect with your motivation up front. Why is this important to me? What does this mean to me? What are the possible benefits to me? Why will I bother? I think that's important to make that absolutely real. Then it's very important for you to create an action plan and for you to, instead of just saying, well, I'm going to practice once a week, I would encourage you to look at a schedule. When will I do this? How will I do this? What kind of space do I need to do this? What is ideal for the benefit of repetition? And also to connect it, attach it to something else that's positive, if you want to anchor it. They say that developing anything into a habit, making anything routine in your life, you are more likely to do if you attach it to something positive. So if, for instance, you're like me and you've resolved to practice guitar, then have a place that's really positive, that feels pleasing to you. Do it at a time when you're most likely to absorb new information and develop new skills, etc. So attach the action plan to something that's positive if you want it to really take hold. And one thing that I routinely say to people around anything that you want to do with any repetition that's in your best interest is to make your momentary motivation completely irrelevant. So it sounds like I'm contradicting myself, but you want to know what your motivation is, your large-scale motivation is up front. But you do not want to make repetition vulnerable to whatever feeling or energy state you have at the moment. So, for instance, I hear people all the time talking about how I know I need to work out. I know I need to give myself the benefit of that routine, that repetition, working those muscle groups in a regular way, but I didn't feel like it today, or I don't think I'm going to feel like it tomorrow. And I generally say to people, what does your motivation have anything to do with it? Your motivation should ideally be, your momentary motivation should be irrelevant. As the Nike saying said, just do it. If you've resolved, if this is something you've decided is important and you know why, you have an action plan, just stick to it and get out of the business of making it subject to constant negotiations. Okay, so that's the obvious one. Repetition, fosters ideal practice and mastery and proficiency of things or a lack thereof. What else does repetition do? Repetition is a key culprit in the creation of either resentments or goodwill in relationships. With repetition, partners tend to do a dance with each other. And you don't have to be romantic partners. This could be you and a friend. People tend to repeat certain sequences with each other that become kind of predictable, and they then have associations to the predictability of it. We call those lock-ins when it's with couples where you say this or you do this and I say this, I do this, and around and around and around we go. And what happens is that when it's about something that's problematic, it amplifies feelings of being either stonewalled or misunderstood or hurt. And as I said earlier, usually people's issues with each other are not about singular events. They're about the predictability of certain events that I've spoken to you about this, I've complained about it, I've begged you, I've asked you to do something different, and it feels like it goes in one ear and out the other ear. In my work as a couples therapist, people come to me and I know the issue is going to be much more, they're going to be deeper, they're going to be, the resentments are going to be deeper, there's going to be more work involved when there's 30 years of repetition of negative sequences with each other. So one other thing that I thought about earlier today that I would want to mention about that is that repetition also drives assumptions that if you have a partner who with any degree of repeatedness or predictability is late, if they're not calling you and they haven't walked in the door a few minutes ahead of time, chances are you're going to move with the assumption that here they go, they're late again, they don't care. It can drive very negative assumptions and very negative meaning making. So pay attention to what are the kinds of things that you are doing that you've been asked not to do. Now the fix for resentments is, one fix is to notice the associations and the effects on yourself. What is the impact on me of this behavior? Okay. How does this affect me negatively? Notice your own part in the dance. What do I do to contribute to this sequence between the two of you? Because that's the only thing that I can control is my part in the exchange. And then it's important to inform your partner of the impact of their behavior, the big picture. So instead of focusing on you're late, why are you late? If it's happened 1,000 times, it's more useful to point out, you know, I brought this up to you. I told you that I worry. I don't know what to do about dinner or, you know, how to deal with the guests who are already here. I've asked you, I've told you what the net effect of this is. It's important to me that you really tune into this. What's going on that somehow it's going in one ear and out the other? When you make a complaint about a toxic repetition, it's always important to request a change because inside every request is every complaint is a veiled request. So try to get in touch with what am I asking for, and be specific about that. And another thing is to, you know, as you notice your part in the exchange with your partner, change your part. I call it change the steps you do in the dance, because all it takes is for one person to change their part in the exchange and the dance changes. I think it would also be important when you've been hearing from a spouse about something that you do that's toxic, that you do with repetition that has a really negative effect on them. If you don't get it, ask them, what does this mean to you? Why is this so bothersome to you? What comes up for you around this behavior? And most importantly, what can I do that would be corrective? What, you know, you're saying just be on time, but what is it that I could do that would be corrective? Now, before we go on to the next thing, the next segment, I do have someone who seems to have a question. Hello, caller. You're on the air.
Hello. Hi, Susan. It's an interesting topic, and it sounds to me, when you're talking about a positive repetition, it sounds like what I'm gathering from this is that the skill that's required in a positive repetition is a form of discipline. But it sounds like something else is needed when we're talking about a negative repetition, as you put it, when you have a habit that is negative upon a relationship. And that sounds like that requires more awareness, not discipline. Can you help me
yes.
out here? I think I'm a little confused.
Oh, perfect.
Confused.
That's a great point. Thank you for that. That is not a matter of discipline so much as a matter of around a negative sequence, a matter of empathy, getting more tuned into the impact of your behavior on other people or helping them understand the impact of their behavior on you. And it's a matter of consciousness, becoming more aware, conscious, de-automating behaviors so that you can change them. So if you're hearing a partner say you're always doing that, why do you do that so regularly? That should be an alert to you to ask yourself, is this something I have been blowing off, something I haven't paid attention to that I really need to be more conscious and intentional around? That's what it's about. Does that make sense?
Okay. Yes, it does. And it sounds like the latter requires in many ways more skill by being mindful and aware and sensitive and empathic to other people.
Yes, it is. It does. Yes. It does.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, really.
Okay. Thank you. I hope that was helpful.
It sure is. Yeah. Thank you.
Okay. Now, the next thing that on the reverse end, that repetition, the effect of repetition, is that it can, instead of resentments, positive repetitions can create goodwill. Goodwill doesn't just pop up overnight. Goodwill has to do with cumulative trust, positive experiences, feeling considered, acts of kindness, all of that. Tenderness between partners, listening, empathy, happening through repetition. So recognize that if you want positive change in a relationship, you're going to need to create a reservoir of goodwill. And goodwill happens as a result of doing things over time, having attitudes and behavior over time that are repeated, that imprint on your partner's brain and that help them feel valued and cared about. Okay? I can have another whole show about goodwill and how critical goodwill is in relationships. Now, another area is habits. Repetition. Through repetition, you can create good or bad habits. And as I mentioned earlier, there's muscle memory about some habits. So we brush our teeth in a certain way at a certain time. There are generally associations to doing certain things, habits. And when you're looking at some bad habits, maybe for instance, you've been texting while driving, very, very bad habit. And it can become a habit for some people because it's just kind of unconscious. You do it, you get away with it. It's critical for you to really look at the impact of this. So first, what you can do when it comes to, good habits, I don't think I need to say anything about. We like them. It has a positive effect. It helps us feel better about ourselves. Whatever you're doing, keep doing. In terms of bad habits, negative, destructive habits like texting while driving, again, changing it involves becoming conscious. And how do you become conscious? One of the things I recommend to people is that before you try to change any habit, notice what you're already doing for at least a week. Just keep doing the same old thing. So you might want to do that through journaling. You might want to do that through just making a mental note. Journaling is really helpful because it kind of anchors it. But notice the what you're doing. Notice the your behaviors. Notice the events that your behaviors seem to be attached to. So, for instance, if you text and drive, does it usually happen when you're in a big hurry? Does it happen in the morning, maybe when you're stressed? What is the event associated with this habit? So what are your associations? And it's important for you also to make note of what's the impact of this. So maybe if you notice it, you'll notice that you sideswept a few cars. You almost went off the road a few times. Maybe you noticed somebody else driving erratically because of texting. But see what you notice about the impact of the negative behavior. And then if you, after you've journaled that, after you've made note of it for a period of time, it's important if you're going to make any changes for you to start by setting an intention, okay? What am I prepared to do differently? With what amount of repetition? Create an action plan for change, and then review your progress after 1 month. So if it's about texting, your action plan might start with, okay, I'm not going to stop entirely, even though I know this is terrible, but I'm going to leave earlier in the morning so I don't feel like I have to multitask on the way to work. The action plan might be, I'm going to sightsee on the way to work. I'm going to notice what's around me. It might be, I'm going to put my phone up where, you know, I use Bluetooth, so I'm not texting. I may be talking with people on the phone, but I'm not texting. So you set an intention, you set an action plan for change, and that is an absolute critical part of changing any habit. And then through repetition, you solidify, you create new habits. And the experts say it takes about 21 days to create a habit. So 21 days, I'm not sure how accurate that is, of repetition in order for you to solidify something else into, you know, solidify a more positive habit. All right, so just a brief little show about repetition. I would like you to think about how you use it in your life to your advantage or your disadvantage, how and where it's a presence in your life. And, I hope you enjoyed the show and you learned a thing or two. Now, if you feel like you need more help with this and it's something that you're not so sure you can do on your own, feel free to call me at my office at 603-431-7131. And I'll be very happy to work with you around this. You may not realize this, but this is a key issue for lots of people. Lots of people. What they're doing in an automatic way that is either positive, you know, people complain about the positive, they're, you know, or acknowledging what they're doing that is, what they're complaining about that's negative and what they do that they feel is positive. Now, my next Blog Talk Radio episode will be on Wednesday, May 17th at 8:30 p.m. And I haven't yet decided on a topic, but I will be announcing a topic and a possible guest soon. I have somebody who may be lined up, but I will be announcing that soon. So have a great spring. I hope where you are, it's warmer than here in Maine and New Hampshire. And hope you enjoyed the show. Take care.